Everyone faces questions and decisions that require insight and answers as we move forward personally, professionally, and corporately in all areas of this thing we call life in America today. Hello, this is Joe Schofield, and I invite you to tune in every Monday evening from 6 to 7 p.m. as we talk together and hear from key leaders of all ages and backgrounds about your questions. Interesting, informative, intuitive, but always encouraging. Tune us in on BBS Radio Network.
Join Pastor Joe and co-hosts Ron Greer, Dr. Paul Hall, Stephanie Thayer, and Dr. Craig Thayer in Raising Expectations.
Hey, welcome, friends. Welcome to Monday night's edition, as you know, of Raising Expectations. We're certainly glad that you tuned in tonight. We count you as part of our family, and we look forward to seeing and hearing from you throughout the week. And as you know, our website there is BBS Radio TV, and you can check on our site all week and follow us. Many of you have texted me during the week and said, we can't see you Monday, but we follow you during the week. And we're just excited. We've got a great show for you. As always, I'm excited. As God brings the people into our program, we just look forward to having them share with you. And we've got a real great guy tonight. You're going to really love hearing the story of what takes place there. So also, want to share with you tonight, because I got a couple of texts. You know, once I get in the program, I get so interested in listening to everybody that I forget. So I'm going to make a quick, for three of you that sent me text. This is my book. You've probably seen it, Legitimate Faith, and you can find it on Barnes & Noble, and you can find it on Amazon, and it's on our website, and the whole story is there. They put the picture on the back so they don't scare the people when they first put the book up, but you just find it right there for you, and I did my job for you. You three people check me back now, and I did my part. Now, moving right along, we're going to get into a great show here tonight. I'm going to tell you about our program and our people very quickly. We're going to go back. This week, we're starting in the great state of Texas. We're going to start in the middle of the nation because the commentator last week forgot one of the critical links in this program. We're going to Texas first. Tonight, and I'm going to introduce you to our favorite pastor in the state of Texas, and that would be the Right Reverend Ron Greer, who is also works with, yes, he's in McKinney, Texas, and thanks to Tank filling me in, catching me last week, I want you to know that he is a guy that's just phenomenal. We love Ron very, very much. He is a counselor with Man in the Mirror out of Florida. He's been a pastor. He's a Bible teacher. He's a great brother in Christ, and he's a prayer warrior. So, you know, when you got Ron praying for you, things happen. So, brother, love you, man. Glad you're here. And we launched.
Glad to be remembered this week. Yes.
Good. Yeah, right. Yeah. Hey, Ron, which way do we go now? Left or right? You could call.
Let's go.
Right?
Always to the right. Always to the right. Always to the right.
Always to the right. Okay, then we're going to go to the south, actually the east coast, but it's the south part of the east coast, and we're going to go, we're going to introduce once again two of our favorite people in the world, Steph Thayer and Dr. Craig Thayer, her husband, and they are there in, yeah, right there in Georgia, in Dalton, Georgia, and Steph is the founder and CEO of Quenching Well. She is the best health and wellness coach you're going to find anywhere. And you follow her on the social media all week. You'll see people send her notes and thank her for who she is and helping them to be all that they can be. And they're not in the army. They should bring that back, though. That would really move. She helps you be all you can be. So in any event, you check with Steph, and she's on there on that website and on our website. And her husband, we just love this guy. Tank is he's a trauma surgeon. He's the kind of surgeon when they don't know what to do, they ask him. And I say that every week because every week when I think about it, I'm just amazed by how God uses him in so many special ways as a missionary, as a doctor here, and in all of our lives. He's also a great author. He's an author first time with his book, Saved, and it's right here. There it is. Finding God in the Ordinary. God works in extraordinary ways in the ordinary things of our lives. And when you hear the stories from his life, and you find that what God has done in his life is pretty amazing. That's why he's the way he is today. So also his new audiobook is out. So go to the sites and find them. The audiobook is there. He actually just talks to you, which is really cool. So I got to take a little trip, and I'm going to put him in my car. I'm going to listen to him all the way on the trip while I'm in the road, and I'm going to hear him talk to me. And
yeah, I mean, the book was 15 years in the making. I think it took me 16 to do the Audible. So. who knows if it's understandable, but we'll find out.
Oh, it's great. I can't wait to hear it. It's going to be, you got a great voice to do the narrative on there. It's going to be great. All in favor, say aye. Amen. So we're looking forward to that. So they're the Thayers on the East Coast, and we come all the way from the East to the West Coast and holding California in place as an evangelistic voice, along with others you're going to meet tonight, is Dr. Paul Hall, who is in Southern California, in Lompoc, California, which is known as?
Rocket Town, USA.
USA, that's right. They fire the rockets from there, just in his, out of his backyard, pretty close. So Paul's a retired pastor. What's that, Paul?
Right out of our backyard. It's really exciting.
Yeah, every morning, like 5:30 or 6, right? Yeah. Some people use an alarm clock. Paul wakes up to the whole house shaking, but it's pretty exciting to see it take off. Paul is a retired pastor. He's a theologian. More than that, he's a guy that takes the word of God and places it in people's lives in a way that they could just understand, wow, that's what he's doing right there. These are some very, very special people. I've been a pastor. Actually, I was like 54 years now, and I've never been more blessed ever by a group of people than this group of people right here. So I'm anxious to share them with you every single week, the way he blesses all of us through them. And Tank's, you doing all right there, Tank? Tank's not feeling real good. So his special surgeon, Mrs. Thayer.
At this moment, I thought, oh, no, you're not on mute, which is why I went forward, but. You know, we have a little bit of sniffles going on in this house.
Yeah. Well, that's okay. Just go for it. You know, it's not a problem. We'll just say it's a rocket over in Paul's area of the wood, and there's no problem. This would be great. All right. So, ladies and gentlemen, tonight we're going to talk to you about a very special group and its leaders there. But just before we do, we have two other people that I want to share with you. They're going to be with us again in a few weeks here. Dr. Marianne Cintron, her husband, Will. You know them well. They're very special people in our program. They're part of our Raising Expectation family. And she is about the world's greatest person when it comes to understanding teaching and dyslexia and working with people, kids and adults. And her husband, he does all kinds of things. He's also really good with discipling, caring for, and praying with men. And he'll have some great insight to share tonight because he loves the guy that's our speaker tonight. And in fact, that's how we found him. And so they shared one of the blessings of their life with us. And now we're going to share it with you. You can share it with others. They can watch all week long. So they're going to be with us too. Let's bring them on right now. You got them there. Let's bring them up, TJ, and we'll just bring Will and Marianne. We're going
to
play.
Hi, good to see you all. Good to be here.
There they are. Yeah.
We're excited for you all to meet Lane.
Yeah, it's good to see you. So we're going to go right to them now, Marianne. So we have with us tonight. In fact, we'll do the round of applause, but Will and Marianne, why don't you introduce your friend? We get to see him tonight because you told me about him. Why don't you introduce him?
Well, this man is a very special man. I met him maybe 12 years ago, and he's something else. He's a founder of For Freedom Outreach, and he's got a heart for men. And I don't want to waste any more time. Right. And so here's Lane Davis.
Let's give him the round of round of applause. Okay, welcome to the program, Lane. Good to see you, brother.
Thank you. I'm glad to be here. Humbled, honored. Thank you.
All right. Tell us a little bit about your program, and then we'll just kind of roll with you and share some thoughts with you as we get excited about what God's doing through your life to so many guys and gals.
All right. Well, it's a miracle I'm even on a show like this talking about it, because 13, 14 years ago, I was a very broken man. I grew up in the church. I've been to church almost every Sunday of my life. So I knew the story of the gospel, who Jesus was, and never experienced a lot of men who were authentic followers of Jesus. And so I really never became one. I became a fan of Jesus, not a follower. And I got to a place where when I was about 50 years old, just broken, probably 150 pounds overweight, struggling with addiction, depression, anxiety, hopelessness, resignation, the enemy had me by the throat. And I attended a John Eldridge-based boot camp called, well, they call it different things throughout the world, but it's basically based on the events that John Eldridge does in Colorado. There was one in California. A friend saw the pit of despair that I was in, and I went reluctantly. And the reason I say reluctantly is because I had, like I said, I grown up in the church and had been to every type of retreats there were, from the times I was in junior high and high school and college age, and then young adults and couples retreats, men's retreats. And they never did anything for me, and they never did anything for most of the men that I was there with, because it was all about behavior modification. You know, if you will just wake up a half hour early and spend 20 minutes in the Word, if you'll just, you know, learn 5 principles of communication on your marriage will be better. It was all about pressure, duty, and obligation, and it never was transformational. And so I attended one of these boot camps for men. And John Eldridge goes after the heart. He goes after heart restoration, and he preaches the fullness of the gospel of why Jesus said he came to earth in the first place. When Jesus announces his ministry, again, I'm not being blasphemous here, all right? He never said, "I came to die for the sins of the world." Now, we know he did that, and that's the message that I grew up with in growing up in Southern Baptist churches until I was in college, and then as a young adult, got into more non-denominational churches. But Jesus, when he announces his ministry, he said he came to heal, in Luke 4, he said he came to heal the brokenhearted and set captives free. Right. And he also said the Son of Man came in Luke 19. He says the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. And so when I looked at my life, I looked at what was lost: hope, purpose, joy, meaning, sobriety, influence for good, influence for the kingdom versus influence in for the kingdom of darkness. Mm-hmm. And you know, it was that event that I left there and I felt like I had the power of the Holy Spirit. I basically committed. I said, okay, I understand the fullness of the gospel now. It's not just the cross, right, which is the greatest thing that's ever happened in the history of the world. The cross is a third of, in my opinion, from what I've come to learn and understand, is a third of why Jesus came. Yes, it's the life, it's the death, it's the resurrection, but it's also the ascension and the authority that the ascension gives people to operate in kingdom authority. And so growing up again in Southern Baptist churches and non-denominational, I always heard the message was something simple like this, like, you're a sinner, but Jesus came to die for you. So when you die, you can go to heaven. And as John Eldridge says, it's the most anemic and theologically incorrect view of the story, because the story doesn't start with you're a sinner. The story starts with you were created in the image of this warrior God to be an intimate ally with him, to battle on the behalf of the kingdom of God against the kingdom of darkness. And so it's way bigger than forgiveness. So that's when Jesus says in like Luke 19:10, the Son of Man came to seek and save what was lost. It includes the loss, but it includes all the things that have been lost in men. And so what happened after that event is I went through this incredible, like I said, I felt like I was empowered with the Holy Spirit for the first time in my life. I stopped hanging around the people I wasn't supposed to. I started reading everything by Christian authors that I could get a hold of, you know, C.S. Lewis, Farrar, Keller, Neil Cole, John Eldridge, Craig Rochelle, Not a Fan by Kyle Eidelman. And I just started growing this stuff. And about a year and a half after, I felt like I learned how to fight spiritual warfare as well. And that's another thing that I think that most men in the church don't get today, because again, I spent 50 years in church and never understood how spiritual warfare works. The only thing I was ever told is you're in a spiritual war. Your battle is not against flesh and blood. It's against principles and dark places in the heavenly. Okay, that's fine. But how does it work? How do I have victory when it's attacking me? How do I recognize it? How do I shut it down? How do I defeat it, banish it, bind it, send it to the foot of the cross, and then invoke the kingdom of God in its absence? And so when you, so what happened was, here's kind of just telling you the history of where I was. God used these, the message of Wild at Heart, Waking the Dead, Fathered by God, Not a Fan, all these books to really rescue me from the pit of, from the pit of hell and the kingdom of darkness. And when a guy gets set free, right, wounded people wound people. And people that are set free, you want to see other people set free. And so that's where I met Will, was we started, I started a book study at a church, a large mega church in Southern California that I was attending. And the first book study, we had 13 guys in May of 2012. 33 months later, that one study, I'm sorry, there was 15 guys, that one men's book study with 15 guys in 33 months had multiplied to 36 men's groups with over 450 men meeting on a weekly basis together. And it was really watching the book of Acts unfold before our eyes. It was like people meeting in homes, people meeting in schools and classrooms and cafeterias, discipling each other, making disciples, meeting each other's needs emotionally, spiritually, financially, and just watching it explode. And so out of these book studies, we kept telling people about these camps for men, these camps for men. And so the first time I went by myself, the second, it was twice a year in California. First time I went was, I think, 2011. Then I went in the fall of 2013. I'm sorry. Fall of 2012, 13 guys went. Then in 2013, 48 guys went, then 59 guys went. And then in 2014, 110 guys from one church went to this camp, and we outgrew it. And they basically blessed me and they said, Lane, you got to do your own. And it was something that if you would have told me 14 years ago, you're going to run a ministry and you're going to have, you know, God's going to use the ministry to impact men, and which in turns, you know, helps them become better husbands, better followers. They step into the role at the churches that they attend, and they just they operate in kingdom authority on behalf of setting other men free. So in 2015, we started a ministry called For Freedom Outreach, and it's based on Galatians 5:1, where Paul tells the Galatian churches for freedom that Christ has set you free. So we call it For Freedom. Second Corinthians says, where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is freedom. And what I love about it is at our camps, they're about helping men understand the larger story, why God created them as a man, why they gave them a masculine heart. And we also let them know that the offer of Christianity is way more than forgiveness. It includes forgiveness, but it's way more. You know, everybody knows the verse in Romans 5:10 where it says, you know, while we were still enemies, Christ died for us. But they don't, a lot of people don't know the verse Romans 5:17, for he talks about because death reigned through Adam, right? I mean, that's with fall. And so, but in Romans 5:17, Paul makes the point. He says, how much more will those who receive God's abundant provision of grace and the gift of righteousness reign in life? So, and we know that Jesus said that he came to give us the abundant life. So, but if you look around at men in churches today, how many men are really experiencing the abundant life? How many men are reigning in life? I mean, they are struggling, right? Because they think the message is your ticket to heaven is based on your church attendance record. And that's the furthest thing from the truth, right? And so I'll wrap it up with this. John Eldridge asks a question. He says, what is the Christianity that you're inviting your children into? Is it the gospel of pressure? Is it the Christianity of pressure, duty, and obligation? And I said, bingo, that's exactly the Christianity that I was invited up into. It's all based on how you appear, you know, what you do, you know, you got to be in church on Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night. And it doesn't set hearts free. And that Jesus said he came to heal broken hearts and set captives free. And so we've done, since 2015, we've done 26 men's camps. Our average attendance is 140 men. It costs average $300. It's 4 days. And we've been selling out for the last few years. We've been selling out 2 to 3 months early, but we have a camp coming up later in a couple months, and we sold out 5 months ago. So, I mean, it's crazy. It's just unbelievable.
I was glistening. Anybody have a thought? That's an exciting story, huh, guys?
I'm just very blessed that they've also given scholarships. Do you want to talk a little bit about that, Lane, for people who don't have the money and the scholarship opportunity?
Yes. So we've had close to 2,000 men attend our camp since we started doing them on our own in 2015. And we have always told people that, and if you can't go, we'll figure out a way. And we tell people we have never had one person that wanted to attend that didn't have the money not be able to go. And so, I mean, we figure it out. We have people that donate to our ministry on a monthly basis, and we don't do fundraisers, or we have in the past, we might in the future, but for the last few years, we don't ask for donations, yet people sign up and they donate on a monthly basis. So we are blessed. What I like about the ministry is nobody's on staff. Nobody gets paid. 100% of what we collect can either go to fund scholarships. We do have a truck and a trailer that, obviously requires fuel and insurance and things like that. But almost 100% of what is donated, we could use to help people either get a scholarship to go to camp, women to go to a woman's version of what we do, youth to go to a 9-day leadership course, and help people out individually that have, you know, financial needs, single moms. I mean, there's all kinds of different ways that we've been able to help out people financially. We just donated a couple $100, you know, a few $100. The guy was doing a fundraiser to buy shoes and for kids in Kenya, you know. So it's awesome to be able to be in a position that we can help those in need.
That's wonderful.
I'm interested in you mentioned something about transformation as opposed to our transformation. And behavior, right, instead of behavior modification. Explain what that is.
Okay.
I'm sorry. I just had to suck you into that one. Yeah, go ahead.
No, that's fine. That's perfect. No, behavior modification is, again, most of the retreats I ever went to or men's conferences or men's breakfasts, they're all about what you need to do, right? And so it's about pressure, duty, obligation. Now I got to go do this. Where when you restore the heart of a man, right, and he falls in love with the real Jesus and understands his role in the larger story, and that his story matters, his life matters, his talents and abilities and spiritual gifts matter, then his heart gets transformed. He gets his heart back, right? Mm-hmm. And all of a sudden, he wants other people to experience. So, like I said, he'll step into his role. When I came back from my camp, Ron, I had to ask my wife where my Bible was. I don't think I had opened it in at least a decade, at least 10 to 15 years. And so when she found my Bible, I read more of the Bible in the first 12 months than I probably had 50 years prior to that. And so I started reading my Bible because I wanted to, not because it was a duty that I had to do. I started wanting to go to church and wanting to go to prayer night. I mean, you go to any prayer night in any church across America, how many of them, you know, most of them are filled with women. Where are the men? Yeah. Right? Volunteers, where are the men? And so happens is when a heart gets transformed, the man, the male, he wants to offer his talents, his skills, and ability to kick some dents in the gates of hell, take back lost ground surrendered to the enemy, and help the local church grow and step into his role and help as much as he can.
Yeah.
So now in your adventure you have throughout the year, what exactly do you guys, what do you do, and how does it play out, and okay. What do you cover?
It starts on a Thursday night. So most men's retreats are Friday night through Sunday, and it's not enough time. And so we model it off of what John Eldridge's ministry in Colorado does. He puts out a manual. We look at the manual. We do it the same format, maybe not exactly the same. We put our own personality and our own skills into it. But it starts on a Thursday night, obviously, with dinner, and it's pizza, chicken wings, and salad. All right, so we have a man dinner. All right, so and then Thursday night is a
session. I'm watching Stephanie's face over here as you say that.
All right, so yeah, it's not tofu. So we tell men that are vegetarians that a vegetarian is actually an ancient American Indian word. It means bad hunter. All right, so, opening night, we set it up again. Most men's retreats, you go, what's the first thing they're going to have you do? They got a worship band on stage. You're going to stand and sing. They're going to turn out the lights, and they're going to have a light show with the fog machines. And, you know, how could you see that? Unless you have a fog machine, how are you supposed to see the Holy Spirit, right? No, I'm just teasing. So no worship bands. Right. I mean, it starts off with a basic introduction, but it's movie clips. It's John Eldridge does a scene, this video of him talking about the heart of a man. Why did God create you as a man? What's the masculine heart? And he models for us the heart of Jesus. And so he gives examples, and then there's movie clips throughout the session, and guys recognize right away, this is not a men's retreat. So it's a different encounter. Later on that night, there's guys down by the fire pit smoking cigars. Some guys are hanging out in the cafeteria having coffee and conversation, and some guys go to bed. So it kind of sets the stage. Thursday night, Friday morning, we come back with a session on the larger story and unpack the larger story and the story that God's been telling since the beginning of time, and how all great movies follow the same format. Every great movie, I mean, let me ask you, Joe, what's your favorite movie and why? And you can't say the Ten Commandments or anything, a Christian movie, right? What's your favorite movie and why?
I just rediscovered it. It's on YouTube. It's Winds of War with Robert Mitchum.
Okay.
And, you like it. It fits right what you're saying. Yeah.
Okay. Why do you like it?
I like it because of the clarity and the leadership of Robert Mitchum. And everybody looks to who he is as this commander, because he leads with strength. He leads with love, but he also leads with facts. Okay. It didn't make the woke list. It didn't make it.
Right. Well, very good. So in the John Eldridge talks about in the book Wild at Heart that in the heart of every man is a battle, is a hunger, a yearning for a battle to fight, an adventure to live, and a beauty to rescue. And he unpacks how that's the story of Scripture, right? And so every movie that resonates with men have those three elements in it, right? That guy Mitchum, right? He's got a battle to fight. He's doing it through an adventure of military. Is it a military?
Yeah, it's pre-World War II, the year up to the beginning of
it. Yeah. Right. And a beauty, there's something to rescue. There's evil and evil to overcome, or there's beauty to rescue. So we unpack the third Friday morning, Ron. We cover the larger story. We go through a session called The Poser, how most men are faking it. Right. And, you know, you've created this elaborate fig leaf called your personality to make life work for you. And so we dismantle the poser. We come back for a session Friday afternoon. It's called Healing the Wound. And we go after woundedness and brokenness in men, how most men have they're not operating at full capacity because they're still diminished and wounded from a lot of times men in their life from their youth. Either most of the time it's through a father, either through abandonment, silence, abuse, verbal, physical, sexual, divorce, affairs, breaking up the family. And so we cover a lot of woundedness that men deal with today, and we go after healing. And because again, Jesus said he came to heal the brokenhearted and set captives free. And yet we'll have men that have come to our, that come to our camps that have been in church for 30, 40 years that have never been healed by Jesus. They still are operating with brokenheartedness. And so we have to get the poser out of the way so we can deal with the woundedness, get the healing. And then Saturday we move into spiritual warfare training. We unpack spiritual warfare, how it works, 101. Real quick on that, basically spiritual warfare, again, I never knew how it worked. And so in your Revelation, Jesus calls Satan the accuser of the brethren. So it starts with accusations. So men have these accusations. You're a loser. You're not a good husband. You're a bad father, right? You'll never amount to nothing. You'll always struggle with pornography. You'll always be addicted, right? And so they make these agreements that come from the accusation. So we unpack that. Right. And then in spiritual warfare, and then we move into a session called Kingdom Authority, and we unpack Luke 10:19, where Jesus says, I've given you authority to overcome demonic powers and all the power of the enemy, and nothing will happen to you. And so we teach people how to operate in kingdom authority. And we've had many, many, many hundreds of men say that that's the most they'll come up to me and they go, Lane, I've been praying like a 3-year-old my whole life, and I've been a Christian for 40 years. And so they go home and they'll start praying for people and shutting down the impact and the effects and the workings of the enemy in their lives and their relationships and their families and situations at work. And they invoke the kingdom of God, and you see incredible breakthrough. I could tell you stories after stories after stories, but we'd be here all night. But Saturday night, there's a thing. It's called, the ladies don't like the title of this, but it's called Rescuing the Beauty. And it's about, what is the heart of a woman? God designed you as a man. He gave you a masculine heart. What's the feminine heart? You have to understand the heart of a woman if you're going to, you know, have a great marriage, right? And so John unpacks godly sexuality, why some people struggle with same-sex attraction, what the longing of the heart really is for. So it's a combination of the heart of a woman and kind of the present day issues that people are struggling with. And then we move into sonship, and I don't know. There's a new book out by Michael Thompson called King Me. And he talks about an oriented man is a man who knows who he is. He knows he's a beloved son. He knows where he is. He lives in a world at war of two realms, right? Physical and spiritual. And three, he knows what God is doing in his life and in the lives of people around him. And so we kind of go into that. So to build these men up, to let them know they are a beloved son. Yeah, you might be a sinner saved by grace, but that's not your identity. You're a spirit-gifted saint called by God to be an ally for him in the battle of good over evil. And then we have a session called Where Do We Go From Here? And it's just a session that kind of debriefs everybody. Okay, here's how you go back to your family. Here's how you go back to your kids. Here's how you go back to your church. And people, like I said, the results and the fruit, Jesus says you'll know them by their fruit. The fruit of what the ministry is born is hundreds of times more than I ever thought it would be.
All the angry pastors calling you because this guy is coming interrupting everything now.
Yeah.
No. I have a question.
Go ahead.
Hey, Lane, would you talk about the age that maybe the youngest person that's come, the kind of age groups you're encouraging? And would you be able to share any testimony of someone who's had a transformation, maybe that's come out of the military or come out of prison or come out of a gang or something?
You maybe take 5 on that. We're watching my clock so I can get some guys in. Go ahead. That's a good question, Marianne.
Okay. What was the first part of the question?
Age group. Because I know
age group. All right. We say 18 and up. So we've had the oldest guy we've ever had is an 88-year-old. We call ours Band of Brothers training camp. So some guys think it's going to be physical. You can be... You know, you don't have to be in physical shape. It's a spiritual training camp. So we've had 18, we've had a guy as old as 88, but one guy wanted to bring his son. How old's your son? He's 16. That's up to you. You know, if he's a mature 16-year, I mean, I don't know your son. You do. So if you want to bring him, go ahead. So, yeah, we've had guys that there's a partner ministry of ours called Men of Faith, and they have a ministry that helps a lot of guys getting out of prison. And so they'll get out of prison, they'll get plugged in with Men of Faith, and then the leader of Men of Faith, he'll bring them up to the camp. We've helped one guy, you know, he'd been incarcerated for over 35 years. Can you imagine coming out after 35 years, not knowing how to use a cell phone, not knowing how to drive in this crazy traffic? And so we were able to, one of our guys took him to the mall, bought him work clothes, work boots. We got him a job, and just that. Another guy, we helped start his own business. Incredible stories of healing and restoration in marriages. One guy came to our ministry 8 months separated from his wife because he had had an affair. She wanted a divorce. We shut down the spirit of resignation, hatred, animosity, unforgiveness, and asked Jesus to replace it with a spirit of hope. And in their marriage, and it took that was like on a Monday night. By Friday morning, he's like, you know, she wants a divorce. We invoke the kingdom of God. We shut it down again. By that night, same night, Friday night, she said the Holy Spirit told her to work on their marriage, and he moved in the following day. 4 years later, they're doing better than they ever have, and they're now ministering to other couples that are going through the same kind of brokenness and heartbreak, and they're kind of meeting with them. So it's incredible where Jesus, right, takes these broken people, heals it completely, and now those people are helping other broken people and broken marriages restore what was lost.
Well, amen. Sermon and shoes, like the old song when we were kids, remember? You know, do you know, Christian, your sermon and shoes, you stay with them. Amen.
That sounds like the one of those stories in Jesus, the demoniac.
Yeah.
He gets delivered, and then he wants to go, and Jesus said, wait. Okay, you can't go with me. Go home and tell those. And he goes back and spreads the word. Samaritan woman runs back to the village. Mm-hmm. And that's everything right. Okay. Absolutely.
Did you hear? Yeah, did you hear? Amen. Paul, did you have a thought you were thinking of?
My brain's dead. No. Lane, what you're talking about, it strikes such a chord.
Yes.
I pastored for 55 plus years, and you're precisely head on. I have even in my own search, I've said there's got to be more, and the victory that Jesus talked about, where is that? How do I get there? What and finding the keys to that has been such a long, arduous journey. To do that, and I'm so excited that God has raised up people like you and John Eldridge and others, you know, to address these kind of topics because it's just so sorely needed. I would like to ask you. You've spoken about kingdom authority. Can you elaborate on that just a little bit? Kingdom authority.
Yeah. If you go back and look at. When they record Jesus's sermons, they'll say he went from town to town preaching the kingdom of God. It doesn't say he was preaching the message of forgiveness. And yet we go back to the cross. The cross was never preached in the New Testament. It was always the resurrection. The disciples preached the resurrection of Jesus. And that's the offer of a new life, right? They didn't preach that. They'd seen thousands of people get crucified. They'd never seen a guy come to life after one. Right. And so first of all, Jesus talks about the kingdom of God over and over and over and over. In Luke 10:19, he says, I have given you authority to trample on. Then there's a story of the centurion who needs, I think it's his daughter or a slave, or I forgot somebody, but the centurion, you know, comes to Jesus and says, hey, I need this person healed. And he's like, yeah, I'll do it now. He's like, no, you don't. He goes, I'll come to your house right now. And the centurion's like, no, you don't have to come to my house. I'm a man of authority. I have people under me. I tell them to do this. They do that. I tell them to do that. They do that. And so, and it says Jesus was astonished, right? In Greek, it means astonished, right? And it said that, and why was Jesus astonished? He says, because he's like, guys, look at this. This guy gets authority. He understands authority. And so the spiritual realm works on authority. How were the disciples and Jesus able to cast out demons? In the name of Jesus, heal people. In the name of Jesus, walk, right? And so we have this kingdom authority that we've never been taught we have, and that we've never been taught how to use. And so we give examples of that. Obviously, you know, the guy at the Beautiful Gate. What's that called again? the gate they call Beautiful, right? He's been lame for 38 years, right? And they're like, you know, we don't have any money, but what we do have, we give you in the name of Jesus. Walk. They're exercising kingdom authority, because what the disciples got was that the kingdom, that the spiritual realm operates in authority, and the demonic forces, the spirit of the kingdom of darkness, has to succumb to the authority in the name of Jesus Christ. And so we teach men how to wield that sword and again have incredible breakthrough, shut down I'll give you another example. One of our guys learned this. There was this lady who's basically demon possessed. He's a property management guy, and every time he would take a contractor over to get some stuff done on this apartment complex, this woman would come out and just right in their face, demonic, and the guy, the contractor, was kind of afraid. And so I was teaching, we talked about this, and he all of a sudden he was like, wait a minute, that's demonic. I'm going to shut that down. So before he got out of his truck, in the name of Jesus Christ, ask you, Jesus, to shut her mouth. Do not allow her to speak. Walks up to the contractor, to the boiler room or whatever they needed to go to. Here comes this woman, and she comes right in front of him, and she's like, he exercised kingdom authority and closed her mouth. So does that answer your question, Paul?
Yeah, that's helpful. Thank you.
Yeah,
I wanted to share something when you were sharing, Lane, about the married couple that was struggling and just calling spirits out for what they are. Actually, we drove home from Dallas yesterday with two teenage sons, and we had long conversations. I know about this. It was water polo the whole time, Ron. He lives in Dallas. Well, close. Yeah. So he's upset. So we were talking about, you know, what is good? What is bad? What's going on? What do we come into agreement on and speak death over ourselves or people in our lives that really we have authority over? And we were actually in the Bible a lot this morning going over it with them, because we said, you got to get in the word and see what it actually tells you. And one of my sons said, why isn't this preached about? I said, that's a very good question. And I'm new when it comes to this, but I agree with you. And that's why we have to get in the word. And I had a friend last week give me homework, and she told me to read Hinds Feet in High Places. Again, I read it as a child. I don't know if you've read it, but it's beautiful because she's called whatever fear the main character, and she's crippled. And you see all these spirits come upon her and over her when that's not what the shepherd's intention is for her. So I highly recommend that simple fictional book just to give it some life, what you're talking about, that there's right. All these things that we write off as something else when really it is a spiritual battle and we do have authority over it.
Right. Absolutely. And we call that target specific, where when somebody's telling their story, you can see where the spirit of resignation is coming in, where the spirit of hopelessness, the spirit of fear, anxiety, you know, and so we've learned how to name those. And then you can ask Jesus to shut it down. Obviously, you can tell it to leave and the authority in the name of Jesus Christ, but then you can invite Jesus in to replace it with whatever the opposite of that is. So we replace the spirit of fear with a spirit of hope and courage and this and that. So
I like Keller's book, The 23rd Psalm, and you make me think of that because, you know, he speaks about the sheep being down, and when we just say things to people and then we're not there to follow up like you do, to stay with them, to put the sermon in shoes. You know, a sheep, they said, they cannot get back up on his feet once they fall down. You probably read this. It's amazing. The shepherd has to sit down. He has to rub the leg of the sheep and get the blood circulating back through the leg so that it can support the body of the sheep so the sheep can continue to do then what the shepherd wants him to do, to be a part of the pack or whatever it is. Usually it's a lead sheep when they fall or they get in trouble. And, you know, that's what we do as Christians sometimes when they fall down and need to time alone with the Lord that way. But we need to know that not only is the Lord above us, not only is he massaging where we hurt, but we have friends like you and those men that you're ministering with who are there in the wings, that they're not there to say, well, you know, if you'll be in church next week or this or the other, which is a good place to be. But if you'll know, we're right here. I'm a call away. I will be there for you. And sometimes when we call out the power of the Lord to do something, maybe we don't see it right off, but you know what? It's going to happen. Because when you call on the power in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ to do something, we may not see it, but it's going to happen. And we usually will hear something about that. I think that's awesome what you're doing. We've got about we got about 7 minutes. Who'd like to share another thought? I wish we had 2 hours.
You're muted, Will.
Yeah.
You're muted.
So okay. I won't Will. Will was one of the very first guys that came early on when we started in 2015, and he was one of the guys that stepped up and goes, I'll lead a group. I'll take men through this, because it impacted him so much and he wanted other men to experience it as well.
Yeah. I led a few groups going through the Wild at Heart book as a book study. And it was just, it's incredible to see how the Holy Spirit moves and men change, especially at the boot camps. And I'm sometimes helping and I'm signing guys in as they come in, and you see guys come in that they're there because their dad brought them, or a friend talked them into it, or somehow they were, you know, connived to go, and they didn't know what it was all about. They didn't want to be there. By Sunday morning, you see them at breakfast or at the first session, And their whole demeanor has changed.
Amen.
They have just been transformed. And it's just like the light came on. It's great to see that. And I mean, you see so many. And the things that happen at the boot camps are incredible. How Lane will put up something, say, hey, this young man, you know, he's gone through some tough times. He wasn't going to be here, but he decided to come anyway. And he wants the guys to, you know, to take a donation. And it's something else how the men will just step up and donate to someone they don't even know to help this, you know, this young guy, because he's going through a tough time. And it's, you know, it's how the Holy Spirit moves through the whole camp from beginning. I mean, we go in and, you know, guys are praying over the camp before men get there, over every bunk, over the perimeter of the campsite, and you know, getting everything prepared so that when the guys get there, if they're bringing anything up with them, when they hit that camp, when they hit that perimeter, whatever they brought, trying to bring in, is going to get pushed back. You see a lot of guys struggle, but you can see how the Holy Spirit is really, really working through all the men in those camps. It's incredible. I still go up going, what am I going to, you know, Lord, what are you going to show me? Yeah. You know, what is it that I need to learn?
Amen.
And sometimes it's not what I learn, it's what I can provide and what I can share with one of the other guys. I just got to be open to how the Spirit moves in those camps. And it's incredible. They've got all the leaders, the board for Freedom Outreach are all men who have gone through stuff, and they know what it's like. They know, you know, nobody's posing.
Well, Will, when you say that, and I was thinking back when you opened up tonight too, that the Bible says we're made with the five senses. And I just go back to this, because Will, what you're saying about these guys coming up, I can see, taste, hear, smell, and touch. But we have six because the Holy Spirit of God dwells within us, you know. Mm-hmm. He lives within us. So at that point, I can only say what's going to happen, this, that, and the other by five senses. Like I'm like you, Will. Gee, God, what do you want to show me here? I'm thinking about this and that. All of a sudden, the Holy Spirit comes in, that sixth one, and he says, Yeah, to put in the old Southern talk, you ain't seen nothing yet. Wait till I'm going to show you. And then afterwards, I think, well, I couldn't even think that. God was so awesome, I couldn't even think that up. And then the old nature says, yeah, well, they're not going to believe you. They're going to think you're just one of these. Yeah, I am one of these Christians. And I'm fired up to get back on track the same way. We need to make a difference for Christ. And he needs to see the difference in what we do and say, we don't have to do anything except just walk the walk. And be there for people, know the word of God, and like Lane's been saying, just be there. Boy, I got to be quiet. I got 4 minutes. I'm sorry. Tank, you got a thought, I'm sure.
Yeah, so
low, but
I think it's crucial to do what Lane and everyone else that's doing, to teach men to armor up and understand that there is a spirit world and a war going on. Amen. And you see that in California probably the most of all. And now that we're armed and deadly, we need to attack. And where to attack is the bureaucracies, because that's the way the demons are working. Mm-hmm. The schools, the governments, FDA. Oh, look at the CDC. I mean, look at Fauci. I could lose my license for saying that just now if I were still in California. Look at where they're attacking. That's where we need to go as men and somehow fight what's going on. We can't, tolerance is a sin. So I know how to do it. Thank you for teaching us how to do it.
Yeah, Ron, take a minute, brother. Go ahead. Take a minute.
Well, Lane, I chomped it a bit because you're in my lane. So it's what I've done for the last 35 years. It's that forget it. I've sort of sworn off and recognized what God has called us to do. And that is, God has specifically called us to reach and empower men. And when things go awry, it's not women or children God speaks to and God holds accountable. It are men. He called men, equipped men to be that anchor, to be that warrior, to be their protector in society. And when we stop doing that, and that's why you have this huge attack on men constantly, whether it's movie and televisions and schools, it doesn't matter. There's this emasculation because Satan knows for sure. He knows better than we do. Who do I want to attack? I want to attack the men and destroy his authority, destroy his strength, destroy his confidence, get rid of his identity. And once I do, then the wife is available, then children available. If I destroy the family, destroy him, I destroy the family. I destroy the family, I'll destroy the whole culture. So you're right on, my brother. It's what part of my job is getting churches to understand the concept of the critical nature of men. And then helping them put together strategies together for reaching men, to teaching men who they are in Christ. This very thing, and you mentioned one of the things that we talk about, right? Every man is a battle to win. He needs a kingdom to build. He needs a family, a house to protect. And if you take those away, you take away his identity, his purpose. He doesn't understand his power and the potential he has. Satan can do whatever he wants with him. Yeah. Matthew 28, the very first thing Jesus says, all authority in heaven and earth is given unto you.
Yep.
Now you walk in them, my brother. Walk in. There's nothing out here.
Right. Preach it, brother.
Don't be afraid. Be courageous.
Right. Okay. Well, I got a question for you. All right. So
you got 30 seconds. And
Here's the. I've been in church my whole life. 51 days of the week. 51 Sundays of the year. You hear the story. You hear the message of the cross. One Sunday a year, you hear a story of the resurrection. When was the last time you ever heard a sermon on the ascension and the authority? It's just as important.
No. I tell people it doesn't sell, so.
Well, ladies and gentlemen, if you're not getting you're lifted up tonight, then check for your pulse. Shake your hand here, put your fingers, and if it's not there, we'll call Greg. Don't worry. But in any event, you got a pulse on that one. Stephanie, would you do us a favor? We need to make a call out to you tonight. Stephanie, would you share for us? We do this with Steph. She's so good at it.
I think they've been pastors for so long that they don't want to ask for money. So like I got elected to the position, which is fine. I'm good at fundraising. I will ask. We love you guys here. We're so appreciative that you take time to hang out with us, spend time with us. You can find out all about the radio show at bbsradio.com/raising expectations. That's where you can donate, find out about the hosts, find past shows that we've done. All the information is available there, so we encourage you to hang out. And Pastor Joe's really excited because he has that QR code, so he's very fancy. It's very fun.
Right. And you've got everything on that website. You'll find Tank's book there. Our book is there. Some great things reading. There's your programs and everything. Ladies and gentlemen, we ran over, but we had a great program. Wish we had a little more time. But Lane, God bless you, brother. Thanks for being with us tonight. We'll continue to pray for you. You got a whole pen of lions here. We're going to be lifting you up every day. I got to have to break us off the air now because we got to be ready for the next situation they've got coming behind us. But in any event, could you put up his email address real quick, TJ? Gosh, man, I hope he can do this. I don't know if he can or not. But if you can't, folks, you know how to get a hold of me. I've got all of his information, and I'll make sure that I get it to you. I did have a screen on it, but he might be in the middle of changing these right now. So, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for being with us tonight. God bless and keep you. Remember, the name of the program is, say it for me, Will, what's the name of the whole program? For Freedom, right?
For Freedom.
I'll let you call it out quick.
For Freedom Outreach.
For Freedom Outreach. For Freedom Outreach, folks. Just Google it. It's all right there, and we'll have it up for you. It'll be on our website. God bless and keep you. Thanks so much. We'll look forward. There it is right there. Yeah. There you go, folks. For Freedom Outreach, write it down. Take a picture. Use your phone. It's right in front of you. And that's Lane's backyard up there. But anyway, you want to be on a retreat with these guys. It's a great setup. Hey, I love you guys. Everybody in the screen, God bless and keep you. Thanks for blessing my life. And we'll talk again real soon. God bless and keep all of you from raising
your way. Thank you, my brother. Bye, God bless
Thank you.
Thank you. Guys.
God bless.
Friends, thanks for joining us on this week's program of Raising Expectations. We profoundly hope you found it engaging and at times humorous, but most of all, uplifting, so that we may, with you, one topic at a time each week, become more encouraged to move forward to an exciting future in, as we always say, this thing called life in America today. So let not your hearts be troubled, your family, finances, faith, freedom. It can be a great future as we talk, listen, respect, and pull together. Please let me hear from you. You can reach me at 972-922-8556. That's 972-922-8556. Or Joe Schofield on Facebook or LinkedIn. It'd be a pleasure to know you, and we hope you'll listen in again next week on the BBS Radio Network.